Well, you're ready, folks? Are you ready? It's time once again for that classic rock show on Huntley Community Radio, the mighty 101.5 FM. I'm one of your co-hosts, Jim Samaria.
Buongiorno, Jim. Hola, shalom, namaste, and howdy, y'all. I'm your co-host.
Buongiorno. Buongiorno.
Buongiorno. The Italian lessons are later.
It's the only one I understood okay. You said.
Well, anyways, I am your co-host, Mark Plotnick. Each week, Jim and I bring you music insights interviews covering the most influential era for a whole bunch of types of music. Did I leave anything out, Jim?
Well, you didn't say anything, really.
Oh, okay. Well, go ahead.
All right. Mark and I are authors of the book Classic Rock, Photographs from Yesterday and Today, and the book features my photography of classic rock artists from 1973 to present day with words by the host with the most, Mr. Mark Plotnick.
Well, thanks, Jim. And did you know that idiom hostess with the mostest was based on a U.S. ambassador and socialite who was famous for throwing lavish parties? Did you know that?
No.
Okay.
Who does?
Well, hey, wait a minute. Hmm. But you know what? She inspired the 1950 Irving Berlin musical Call Me Madam, starring Ethel Merman. How about that?
That is a great trivia. Where else on radio are you going to hear trivia like
Nowhere
that?
Nowhere but the mighty 101.5. So,
is there more?
No, go ahead.
Well, what does Ethel Merman have to do with today's show, by the way?
Nothing. I'm just filling time.
Okay.
So, let's get to why we're here today. Okay. Well, several months ago, our first installment of Song Versus Song was so popular that we're returning with another installment and surely more to follow in the future. So, Jim, remind our listeners what this show is about.
Yeah, over the course of music history, it's been common for an act other than the original artist or composer to cover a song. Sometimes it's to show respect to the original version, or in other cases, to remake the song in a different way.
And in early days of rock and roll, it was not unusual for some performers to do this in order to reach a different audience or a broader audience.
Yeah, in some cases, a cover or reinterpretation is even more successful than the original. So today, Mark and I are offering up several song versions for comparison, along with some history behind each one. So here we go.
Okay. Well, Jim, our first song is that rare case where it is co-written by two artists who then each release their own version. So the song we're starting with is Because the Night, and it was co-written by Bruce Springsteen and Patti Smith.
That's a cool pairing, don't you think?
Unusual.
Yeah. Well, here's a little bit of a story behind the song. Producer and music industry executive Jimmy Iovine encouraged Bruce to write a song for an underground poet performer who he believed had a huge music potential. That person was Patti Smith. Iovine was the same guy who encouraged Tom Petty to write his hit song, Stop Dragging My Heart Around, for Stevie Nicks.
That's right. That's right, Jim.
Thank you.
So in 1976, Springsteen was working on the song, but he was hitting a roadblock on some final verses. So Iovine took the unfinished product to Patti Smith, who finished it off and recorded it for her 1978 album Easter. And basically, this song launched her music career.
And by the near the end of 1977, Springsteen had begun performing the song in concert, but his studio version didn't appear until 2010 on his album Promise. Let's listen to Patti's version first, Because of the Night, followed by Springsteen's version, and notice how the lyrics and delivery style differ, okay?
Take me now, baby, here as I am. Pull me close, try and understand. Desire is hunger, is the fire I breathe. Love is a banquet on which we feed.
Yeah.
Take me now, baby, here's I am. Pull me close, trying to understand. Desire's hunger is the fire I breathe. Love is a banquet on which we feed. Come on now, try to understand.
Bruce Springsteen doing Because the Night, and before that was Patti Smith doing the same song. Mark, I'm going to vote for Patti Smith version.
Me too.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. There's something special that she brings to that song.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, Bruce is Bruce, and it's great, but Patti brings something different.
Yeah, I like her style.
Well, all right, it's question time. Jim, where have all the good times gone?
Well, Mark, I don't know what you're getting at, but I will tell you that Ray Davies of the Kinks asked the same question 55 years ago in his song, Where Have All the Good Times Gone? Davies was often referred to as having an old head on his young shoulders. Well, easy for me to say, for his nostalgic approach to his songwriting.
Yeah, and this song is a perfect example. It appeared on the 1966 U.S. album release, The Kinks' Controversy, and as the B-side of the single, Till the End of the Day. It was during this time when the band was under a lot of stress from internal and external events. Also, Davies drew from happier times during his childhood and the English traditions that he saw slipping away.
And Mark, if you listen to the lyrics, you know, real close, you can hear Davies refer to the Beatles song, Yesterday. The two songs are very similar in sentiment.
Yeah, and ironically, the song did not become a staple of their live shows until after David Bowie covered it for his 1973 album, Pinups. And the Bowie version inspired the Kinks record label to re-release the song in late 1973.
And to further give the original song a lift, Van Halen covered it for their 1982 album, Diver Down. It was the second time Van Halen covered a Kinks song, and according to interviews, Davies liked the Van Halen version, as I did.
Yeah, he did. I didn't like it that much. But today we are only playing the Kinks and Bowie versions back to back. So here's the song, Where Have All the Good Times Gone?
Once we had an easy ride and always down. Get your feet back on the ground.
Comments, Jim?
Yes, Kinks win.
Kinks win. There's something wrong here. We've agreed on two songs.
That's pretty good. Nice going, Roger Ebert. Yeah, thumbs up.
All right.
Well, you are listening to that classic rock show on WHRULP, Huntley Community Radio, 101.5 FM, and on demand 24/7.
All right.
Mark.
Go ahead.
Let me talk.
I'm sorry. I'm just
co-host.
Hope says that I am a control freak. I am so sorry.
Yes, you are. A control freak? Was that
yeah.
Okay. Do you know who Burt Russell Burns was?
Is he related to Boston Celtics center Bill Russell?
No. God.
No.
It's not a sports show. No.
Okay, so who is he?
Well, he was an incredible songwriter, producer, and record mogul who never got his due until recent years. From 1960 to 1967, he was involved with 51 songs that topped various charts.
Oh.
But today, we're going to talk about his song, Twist and Shout.
I love the word mogul.
I know? Do, too.
Yeah. Well, and many people think the Beatles wrote this song, but it was Burt Burns who co-wrote it based on the Mexican folk tune La Bamba. How about that? So tell us more, Jim.
All right. Well, in 1960, Chubby Checker's version of the twist created a dance craze, and many twist-themed records followed. Songwriters Burt Burns and Phil Medley of Brill Building fame wrote the song Shake It Up, Baby, which was renamed Twist and Shout. And it was first recorded by the Top Notes in 1961, but Burns hated their version.
Yeah, and here's why. It was produced by a young Phil Spector, who obviously didn't know what he was doing because he messed up the song. Burns was very dissatisfied. So Burns took the song to a fledgling group named the Isley Brothers, whose only previous chart breakthrough was the 1959 song Shout. But this time, Burns took total control of production, and in 1962, it became the Isley Brothers' first top 40 hit. And while far less popular than the Beatles' version, you got to give these guys credit for inspiring the Beatles to record it.
Well, and going back to the Isley Brothers, can you name who played guitar in that band at one time?
Jimmy Page?
Page?
Jimi Hendrix.
Right. Yeah. And here's where the song's history gets really interesting. It was the last song the Beatles recorded for their 1963 United Kingdom debut album, Please Please Me. The boys' voices were shot for many hours of recording, and Lennon's voice was particularly shredded from a cold that he had.
Yeah, but here's the beauty of the Beatles version. It was wild and raw nature of rock and roll at its best. It was done in one live take because Lennon had nothing left for another take. But looking back, Lennon believed he could have done a better job if he had recorded it on a later day. But you know, sometimes the most perfect version isn't the best version. So Twist and Shout peaked at number 2 for 4 weeks on the U.S. Billboard chart, and it will always be remembered as a Beatles song.
Yeah, I always will. And I remember when it used to come on the radio back in the day, I would turn it up to 11, of course, and just dance in our front room.
They had 11 back in those days?
I invented it.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Final Tap stole
it
from me.
They
stole it from me.
All right.
Well, anyway, this song will also be remembered for Lennon's remark before singing it at the 1963 Royal Command performance in London. With royalty in the audience,
including the Queen, by the way, who just passed away. She was there.
R.I.P.
Yeah.
Lennon famously quipped, "For our last number, I'd like to ask for your help. With the people in the cheaper seats, clap your hands, and the rest of you just rattle your jewelry." So listeners, rattle whatever you like as we play two versions of Twist and Shout.
Got me.
Beatles win, Beatles win, Beatles win.
It's a Beatles song. Come on, man.
It is. Great song.
All right. Well, you've been listening to part one of that classic rock show on WHRU, Huntley Community Radio, located in Huntley, Illinois. The mighty 101.5 FM, where we play the most talked about music of all time.